Joining us from Baghdad, reporter Paul Edel. Paul Edel, as we've heard, there are still some doubts here as to whether Iraq has committed itself to destroy its missiles or agreed in principle to do so. What are they saying there?
They're not saying anything on the record, Robert, but off the record they're saying that, yes, tomorrow they will start to destroy the missiles.
How actually would these missiles be destroyed?
It's a long and complicated process, and it will be supervised and guided by UNMOVIC, the UN weapons inspectors. They start the destruction process by taking out the rocket motor that's inside, taking off the warhead. They physically chop up the steel canister that is the body of the rocket, then destroy the warhead and the engine separately.
Now, destroying both the warheads and the motors, and also the castings for the manufacture of further missiles, must entail actually the destruction of a pretty valuable arsenal by Iraq at this point, and yet they're committed to doing it, you say?
Yes, they're destroying a whole system. We're talking about engine components, control items such as gyroscopes, the launchers, logistics support vehicles, or at least components in them. But at the moment, the Iraqi government considers that world public opinion is more important than a missile system.
How do you understand Iraq's strategy for dealing with the United States and for dealing with the UN Security Council over the next week, say? And how does this letter to Hans Blix fit in with that strategy?
The letter, I think, is part of an Iraqi strategy of showing flexibility to win public support around the world to postpone a war if possible, or if postponing a war indefinitely is not possible, then at least making sure that the United States pays the highest possible political price for any action.
And what do you hear about the movements of Iraqi troops around the country?
We hear from people who've driven up the road to Mosul, north of Baghdad, that dozens of tanks on transporters have been moved south. There are armored personnel carriers rumbling both ways up and down the road, tanks and anti-aircraft guns dug in across the desert near Tikrit, Saddam Hussein's hometown, about 100 miles north of Baghdad. These are the first significant troop movements that we're aware of since this crisis began. Until now, the government has very much wanted to give both, I think, the Americans and their own people a message that life was completely normal.
But if you say that Iraqi forces are moving south from Mosul, which is up in the north of the country, are they indicating that they are not going to contest some ground invasion coming down from Turkey and Iraqi Kurdistan into the heart of the country?
I wouldn't like to be that precise, but I think the indications we are being given are that the government recognizes that it may lose very large parts of the country to an invading force. They have decentralized their military and political command forces in, I've been told, four districts will be able to operate completely autonomously. And in the end, what really counts for them is Baghdad. As long as Saddam Hussein is president of Baghdad, he's president of Iraq.
Reporter Paul Edel in Baghdad, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Goodbye, Robert.